Well, Foles isn't the only one that's injured in Jacksonville. The injury bug has bitten these Jaguars. I'm Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. Yeah, man, the defensive line is banged up. Three guys didn't practice yesterday. Marcel Darius, Calais Campbell, and Yannick Ngakoue are all a little bit banged up and did not practice. Coach Doug Marrone, when asked if he was concerned, said, yeah, I'm concerned. And the Jaguars should be concerned. That's the strength of this team, especially when you consider the fact that their quarterback is now banged up and out until week 11. Whose fault is it? Is it just the nature of the game? Is it bad luck? Did holding those guys out and all of a sudden putting them in live action cause these guys to have injuries? I mean, who knows? I'm not a doctor, but it sure seems like the Jacksonville Jaguars have had a lot of bad luck as it pertains to injury. And we'll see what effect that has come this Sunday at NRG Stadium in Houston. I mean, just when you contemplate guys being hurt, just think about it, how folks react. If you hold them out of preseason, the danger is that when they get hurt, well, first of all, the danger is if those guys start getting injured, but the danger is if they get hurt from a media perspective or from a perception perspective, it's going to be all on the coach. I mean, you shouldn't have done that. If you have a very physical preseason, which they have in the past, and then those guys get banged up, then you're going to hear people say, well, you know what? You're too rough on them in the preseason. Those games don't count. Practice doesn't count. You ought to save them for the game. So it's almost like it's a double-edged sword. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But obviously the biggest one is Nick Foles. Nick Foles being banged up is a tremendous blow to this team. But ironically, from an optics perspective, when you look at it, folks aren't really as upset. People are acting like Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy that's going to be the future of this football team and can lead this football team. And if that's the case, I'm all for it. I will eat crow a little bit because I said that I thought the team was making a mistake by not getting a veteran quarterback going into the season. And maybe they knew what they were doing, especially once they saw him in the preseason. Now, my thought with that goes back to January or February when I knew that they were going to go after Nick Foles. I said they need to get somebody else too, because I don't think you pay him that kind of money and then draft a high draft pick. But then I also don't think you don't go into the season without a proven backup, especially when you're a team that's built to win already. So from that point of view, I was just always wary of them waiting until the sixth round. Look, if you don't think that, there's a reason to be concerned about that, especially back around the draft time, was this. They also drafted Tanner Lee in the sixth round. Okay? So I didn't trust the fact that this organization was going to use a sixth round pick on a quarterback that was going to actually help this football team. You know? So they have a proven track record in the past of not doing that. And obviously at that point in the draft, they didn't place a higher value on Gardner Minshew than they did on Tanner Lee. Therefore, you have the right to be skeptical. But it's been a pleasant surprise. It's been a very pleasant surprise with what Gardner Minshew has been able to do. And I think it's a combination of what he can do and then what John DeFilippo wants him to do. I do think sometimes in the past we can, in retrospect, what happens is you look back and you think that, okay, everything was on the quarterback. Well, in some cases it is on the quarterback, but it's also on the coordinators, and it's also on the way that you develop guys. Look no further than Jared Goff out in Los Angeles. You know, the difference that Sean McVay has made in the path of his career. He was considered a bust as the first overall pick, and now all of a sudden he's got a contract extension paying him over $100 million in guaranteed money, and he played in the Super Bowl. So it could really, really make a difference with player development. This week's opponent is the Houston Texans, of course, and Houston lost a close game. We're going to go behind the scenes and do our crossover show with Locked On Texans. My man Cody and my man John chimed in last night, and we had a good spirited conversation about these two football teams and what everyone should be expecting this Sunday in NRG Stadium. I think it's a must win for both teams. It's going to be very hard to overcome a 0-2 deficit going into the season and hoping that you achieve all your goals. You know, it doesn't mean you won't be able to make the playoffs, but what it does mean is that you're further away from winning the division. You're further away from getting a home field advantage in the playoffs. You're further away from hosting a playoff game. And, you know, you need to be able to do all of that stuff if you're going to be a team that's going to challenge for the Super Bowl. So we'll get on and we'll discuss with those guys, and we'll do that in just a second. So stick around. Don't go away. And a friendly reminder about one of our partners. If you guys have not had dinner and you haven't eaten, if you had a long day at work and you're stuck at the office, you need to open that DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off of their first order for $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. That's right, Locked On. More to come in just a second. If where and how you watch your sporting events are important to you, then you need to understand that the place for you to get your tickets is Vivid Seats. That's right. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee, man. It's how you watch the sports. It's where you watch the sports. And no one can help you with that more than Vivid Seats. Now, how do you do it? You go to the App Store or go to Google Play and download the Vivid Seats apps. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every single purchase with Vivid Seats. It's backed up 100. Yeah, I said 100. 100%. It's something that you never hear anywhere else. Vivid Seats is the top source of tickets for all of the live events you want to go to, and you can sort by price or look for seats in the section or row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app.
Welcome back in, everybody. Locked On Texans podcast. Some sports guy Hickman and my co-host of the best co-host in the world, Cody Davis. Like we said before, Duval is in the house. Locked On Jaguars.
No doubt about it. Duval is in the house. What up, John? What up, Cody?
What's going on? What's going on? So, first and foremost, thank you for representing Locked On. And if you guys don't know who is a part of the Locked On Jags, could you please let us know?
Yeah, man. You know, Locked On Jaguars, every single day right here in Jacksonville, kicking all of this Jaguars information down. You can catch me on Twitter, too, at ShopTalkingWing. You know, all one word, Shop Talking Wing. I'm in Barber, by the way. You know, I've been a barber for 26 years, so I got to include that in the podcast, too, man. But, you know, behind the enemy lines, man, that bonus coming off is a loss. So, you know, nobody wants to go home with two, right?
Nobody wants to come home with two. That's damn right. And everybody, this is Anthony Wiggins. Like I said, we're Locked On Jaguars. Before I got a quick question before we even hop into a lot of things. Is Miles Jack going to be okay?
Yeah, Miles is all right, man. Did you see the meme online? People were like, when mama goes to the funeral and she sees the body, did you see him get the spaghetti legs and all of that stuff? You know, that was so uncharacteristic of him, bro, because he's really an even-keeled dude, man. In fact, he just got a contract extension a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, they talked about that when they gave him the money, that, you know, he doesn't make waves, man. He apparently, his explanation for all of that stuff was that Sammy Watkins, while he was supposed to be running a route, took a beeline towards him. Now, it wasn't after the play, but he took a beeline towards him instead of running a route. He put his helmet up on his chin and knocked him down, and then he stood over.
Mm.
And it kind of pissed him off, so he was saying something, and they got into a shoving match. And then when Miles was trying to explain it to the referee, obviously the referee wasn't hearing it because all they saw was what Miles did. So, yeah, Miles, it looks like what he did, and this is his knee guess. It looks like, okay, if I'm going to get kicked out, then I'm going to get kicked out. I'm going to do this thing. And, he was just really, really like a mild-mannered dude, man. You would not ever expect him, of all people, to say I'm mild-mannered to do this. The dude got a candle-making business. He makes candles. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's just not normally like that, but typically, in the past, especially last year, and even some of the year before when the Jags were really good, you guys saw it a couple of years ago. Clowney, of all people, broke up a fight after the game with Ngakoue and all of those dudes. they can get a little chippy, and they kind of puff their chest out a little bit, and they chirp at you some. It's just game one. It was the wrong time to do it. And oh, by the way, they was getting their butt handed to them at the time by Kansas City. So it just probably added to a lot of the frustration.
Yeah, and they also said it was 109 degrees on the field. That's also going to add to getting pissed off and wanting to fight.
Bro, let me tell you something. I think it got up to like 130 degrees index. It was so I sit in the front row of the press box. We were sweating in the front row of the press box, and that AC was good up there, I'm telling you. So it was just extremely, extremely hot. And you know, when you get hot, you don't even want nobody looking at you funny, right?
Nah, man, we know down here in Houston, Texas, trust me.
Oh, it'd get real hot. What was the temperature? Was 109? What was the humidity, did they say?
Man, the humidity index was 130. You know?
Damn. So
let me tell you how bad it was. They have a sports bar in one of the end zones. That's the end zone opposite of where the swimming pools are, right? They have a sports bar in the end zone, and it's called the Bud Light Zone. My wife texted me at, it was halfway through the second quarter. She said, we're going home. We're leaving. They left. My wife left the stadium, and there were people passed out. It was so hot, there were people passed out at halftime. It was ridiculous. It's even to the point where now, man, some people are saying either they need to do what Miami did down in Hard Rock, where they built a little stadium where they have the awning over it, or they're just saying, man, just don't schedule any more 1 o'clock games in September in Jacksonville. That's just how bad it is. And normally, in the past, they tried to use that to their advantage. They said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get these teams that's not used to this humidity, and we're going to wear them out. In fact, the Jaguars normally wear the black or teal shirts at home. They were all white. They wore white tops and white bottoms to try to take advantage of the heat. And what happened? They boiled over instead of Kansas City. So it kind of backfired a little bit.
Well, I'm going to need you guys to build a stadium where you can open and close the roof of your arena, just like we have out here in Houston on 610 and Kirby. But let's jump right into Sunday's matchup. This is, of course, the first AFC South, the first divisional game of the season. I'm pretty sure you saw that game Monday night. So from a guy who is an analyst of the NFL, what is it that you saw from the Houston Texans that might cause the Jaguars some problems on Sunday?
Multiple weapons and how explosive they are. Very similar to Kansas City. Done a little bit differently, but Deshaun Watson, I got to mention this first. Deshaun Watson and Patrick Holmes in consecutive weeks to open the season. In 2017, the Jaguars were sitting at number 4 and they took Leonard Fournette with both of those guys still on the clock. And now they got to deal with both of them. So Watson is a superstar. Make no bones about it. I think getting Laramie Tunsil, even though, you know, he gave up the sack the other night, but getting Laramie Tunsil, solidifying that running game. And what's underrated is the fact that everybody knows about D-Hop. They go out and get Carlos Hyde, who looks rejuvenated and looks like the real Carlos Hyde that the Jaguars traded for last year. And then they added Kenny Stills, and as long as Fuller is healthy, that's three guys that can get open and get down the field and make plays. And that's a very, very dangerous prospect for this team, man, because you know, Watson can beat you with his legs, so you can't pay too much attention to those guys. And then with Duke Johnson also being a threat on third down, it looks like, even though you guys put that thing together late, it looks like you got enough weapons to really get it done. So that's the scary part for us. The other scary part is they're coming in with a second-year quarterback, and with a rookie quarterback, as opposed to coming in with Nick Foles. You know, we played with Blake Bortles for 5 years down here, and then they finally get a legitimate quarterback that everyone believes is the answer. And on his first touchdown pass, he gets driven into the ground by Chris Jones of Kansas City, and he beats up his clavicle. And that thing is broken, and so he's out at least for 8 weeks. He won't probably be eligible to play until week 11 because they put him on the IR. So the danger is you got a rookie sixth-round pick as your quarterback, and he's really a game manager. He was very, very impressive the other day. So the danger is this. If you guys start scoring a whole ton of points early, now you're going to have to depend on that rookie to keep up as opposed to being a game manager. So for us, that's dangerous. Now, let me flip that question around. Seeing what you saw in Jacksonville and knowing what you know about Jacksonville and seeing what you saw with Houston's defense not being able to hold up at the end, you tell me what you think you guys need to be worried about.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think we definitely have to be worried about, Andrew. The fact that, you know, we're going into this game. We struggled with 6 sacks against the New Orleans Saints. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't fear the New Orleans Saints defensive line or front seven like I fear Calais Campbell, Josh Allen, Darius in the middle, Miles Jack, Ndichi. I always mispronounce his name, but Yaniki Ndichi. So that front seven will be able to cause a lot of problems. And honestly, I was able to look at your team. And I know Nick Foles went down and speed of recovery to him. And even on that injury, he put that pass on the money. But one thing about your team, we are scared of that defense. We're not scared of that offense. But I do like that backup quarterback, Minshew, out of Washington State. I think he made some great throws. I think he made some great decisions. And if your defense can come to play, which I thoroughly believe they will, because I didn't even name who's on the outside on a corner position. I didn't even name that man. But if your defense comes to play, I think your quarterback can keep you guys in the game because of our defense. We didn't have no pass rush virtually, only 1 sack. And J.J. Watt was a non-factor. So on the flip side, I worry about your defense getting to our quarterback. Now, I'm on record by saying that I believe that another week with working with the linemen together as a whole, we get Howard back. Tunsil will be in the system with this team another week. That'll help out tremendously. But allowing those sacks from Monday night and not getting any sacks besides the one that we got Monday night, that scares me a little bit.
No doubt. This is your man, T. Wiggs. Tony Wiggins on Locked On Jaguars, talking to John Hickman and Cody Davis from Locked On Texans. Yeah, you're right, man. You make a lot of valid points with that. I tell you what, speaking of what's on the outside defensively with us, Jalen Ramsey has traditionally played one-on-one the way Marshawn Lattimore did the other night against DeAndre Hopkins. But I always say, great receivers are going to catch the ball. So DeAndre and Jalen have this relationship with each other. Sometimes Jalen gets the best of him. Sometimes he gets the best of Jalen because that's what's going to happen when you have great players. I think the key, though, is DJ Hayden in the slot, in the nickel, as well as AJ Boye on the outside.
Yes.
They have to do a real good job with Will Fuller, and they have to do a real good job with Kenny Stills. And then something else that the Jaguars have always had troubles with, whenever they play man-to-man, those pass rushers get up the field quickly. But sometimes it bites them in the butt when they play a mobile quarterback. So Miles Jack is going to be pivotal. He's going to have to stop Deshaun Watson from extending drives and getting first downs and scrambling out there and getting 7 yards on first down and coming up with second and short or second and three. I think that's when it gets really, really dangerous for Jacksonville, because when you have a high-octane defense like that, that they're always trying to go after the quarterback and they're always playing fast, you start to wear them out a little bit. And start making them have to get into their rotation and bring in guys like Taven Bryan and all of those guys. It could be dangerous. Now, let me tell you something that's going to make you feel a little bit better. Marcell Dareus, Calais Campbell, and Yannick Ngakoue, none of them practiced today. All of them are nursing injuries. Marcell Dareus missed last week. Calais Campbell, I believe, hurt his foot in the game, and I actually saw Yannick Ngakoue tweak his hamstring the other day, and he was trying to get stretched out when they played Kansas City. So they know those guys out of practice. Doug Marrone said today in his presser when he was asked if he was concerned, he said, yeah, I'm concerned. So you might not see those guys, and if you do see those guys, they probably won't be at full strength.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that we know about what Ramsey can do, but I'm glad you brought up the slot with DJ Hayden, because I definitely think on our side of this game here in Houston, that is going to be the area that we will have the best matchup with. Whether it's going to be Kenny Stills in the slot, or we like to mix and match it up, Fuller can be in the slot. That is going to be the area where if we can win that battle, I think we win that game, because both of those guys are two guys that can get open and get downfield, and I'm not trusting your slot in DJ Hayden. Now, he can keep up. We know DJ Hayden is fast. But let's just say I think we win that battle.
Yeah, it does sound like y'all, you know, he didn't play necessarily well the other day. Even though, you know, Tyreek Hill got hurt, Jalen tackled him and messed up his collarbone, so he's out a few weeks. the other day, the young safeties, Ryan Harrison in his second year, and Jared Wilson, it left a lot to be desired with them. And then, you know, they got beat on. Sammy Watkins scored 3 touchdowns. Only one was on Jalen Ramsey, a little 5-yard out. But the other ones were because they just didn't prepare for the routes that were being run. That Doug Marrone said that they were playing quarters when they should have been playing cover 3. And that Kansas City on one instance actually ran something that they didn't see. So I think they're a little bit more familiar with Houston and know what they want to do. They, you know, he's coached a lot against Bill O'Brien in the past. So I don't think blown coverage is going to be what wins or loses this game. I just think it's going to be a matter of execution. Let's step aside real quick and come back and let's talk about somebody that actually got cut real quick. Aaron Colvin. We swapped quarters with y'all a couple of years ago. Aaron Colvin and Fabuya, it kind of worked out better for the Jaguars. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Locked On Jaguars and Locked On Texans as we do the crossover for this week's game. All right, welcome back to Crossover. We're Locked On Jaguars, Locked On Texans, talking to my man Cody Davis and John Hickman. John, why y'all cut my boy AC, man, with $7 million? Y'all paying him to leave.
I'm going to tell you why. We also paid Jadeveon Clowney to leave.
No, we didn't pay him to leave. We didn't want to pay him. That's why he left.
And then even when we did let him go to Seattle with that trade, we paid $8 million of that that 15.96 tender. I'm going to tell you exactly why we got rid of him. His ass needed to go.
And he was already on the bubble to begin with. Like, when the final 52-man roster came out, we was all surprised that. When the final 53-man roster still came out, we was all surprised that he was still on the team.
AC was better than that here. They actually tried to keep him, but Houston gave him more money, so he left. They got really, really close. In fact, if the Houston offer wouldn't have been a Texas offer, that means no state taxes like Florida. If it was New York or something, he probably would have stayed, and the money wouldn't have made that much of a difference because of no state taxes down. But I think the money was because there's no state taxes. You know, you can't tell a dude to take a $1 million haircut. That's a lot of money. I don't care how much you get. $1 million is a lot of money or whatever. So. I'm shocked that it didn't work out because for me, he was a twitchy athlete here. He always found himself around the ball, even though he did get a lot of interceptions. He caused some fumbles, got some scoops. They really, really liked him here. In fact, I remember when, you know, the Jaguars when they picked Leonard Fournette and didn't pick Mahomes or Watson, they didn't do that because they were so in love with Fournette that they thought he was more valuable than a quarterback. They did that because they were married and committed to Blake Bortles. And I tell people all the time, don't really get mad at yourself and beat yourself up. The fact that the Jaguars didn't pick Mahomes or didn't pick Watson because they weren't going to take them anyway. Even if they didn't take Fournette, they were going to take Jamal Adams or Marshawn Lattimore. And I recall one time Marshawn Lattimore said something about how good he was, and Jalen Ramsey said that you wouldn't even be on nickel corner. And Abudie said facts. So that's how much they were loving on Aaron Colvin, who was a nickel corner at the time. They were saying, if we just took you wouldn't even be a nickel on our team. I think that's a little bit foolish now that you look back at it. In fact, Blake would probably be a nickel corner if Marshawn Lattimore was here, to be honest with you. But that's just how they felt about AC here. I was just surprised the other day when he was let go. What about the Clowney situation? I don't even know if did he play this weekend for Seattle?
He played and he balled out.
That man balled out.
Well, you know what was funny, Andrew, is both of these guys were, when we look at everything and how we've been covering the entire team, of the team for the entire summer offseason, and we've said so much, and you know, I got to be honest, I was pissed at the fact that we didn't make this move, or didn't make a move, rather, before the draft. I just think both of these guys were in a position with the organization where the organization just says, you know what? We just don't want you around anymore. You look at what we did with Clowney, that has to be one of the biggest reasons because we traded him for chips. The 33-bag Lay's chip, and on top of that, it had more air in the bag than it did chips. We didn't get nothing back. We gave up too much. And Clowney, along with Colvin, the course ran. I hated it. Because I know we could have gotten more. You look at what we traded him for. We got the third round back that we really just got that back for the Duke Johnson trade. So we didn't add a third round pick, and we traded him for two guys. Jacobs actually played Monday night, which was surprising. Mingo, I don't think we're ever going to see him play this season at all. He's been a journeyman. He hasn't been able to succeed. So I just think there was a personal beef in the organization between Bill O'Brien and Jadeveon, because it was on record Jadeveon was going to come back after preseason game three. That was a fact. Right. That was on record. And the entire time, I got to tell you, I just was thinking to myself, this has to be personal.
Yeah, this is the danger of not having a true general manager.
Tell me about it.
What a coach does, a coach gets emotional and a coach starts cutting people. And he don't start thinking about the ramifications of the money. And then O'Brien might think he's coaching for his job. He don't give a damn that China got no first or second round picks the next 2 years. He okay. I mean, anyway, if he don't win. So that's probably why he's doing things the way he's doing, because he's like, okay, if I win and we make a run in the playoffs, I get to stay and I get to deal with that. But, you know, maybe they hired a GM and a GM wants to come in here and clean house, and O'Brien gone, and he took a swing at it. You know what I'm saying? He went and got the people he wanted. I just looked at it at they wanted Tunsil. So they just had to get everything that they could get in order to trade draft pick to Tunsil. I mean, to Miami for Tunsil. Yeah, man, it's extremely interesting. You guys are in two different situations. I think both coaches are on the hot seat. I do think both coaches are on the hot seat. I think in our division in the AFC South, the celebration that Andrew Luck was leaving was a little bit premature, because the Colts got a real, real good team. And then the things that I heard from the preseason about Tennessee, the celebration might be too quick, too, and too premature, because they went up there in Cleveland and laid 40 on everybody's Super Bowl champion. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I was one of those people. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I wasn't high on Tennessee, because a buddy of mine that's a coach and a scout visited them. He's actually a college coach and a former NFL scout, but he visited them. He called me. He told me they trashed. He said he didn't believe it. He was like, I can't believe it. Mariota can't. He has to dump the ball off in the middle of the field. He can't throw the ball to the boundary. And, you know, this whole time they've been getting rid of everything, which he told me Mariota was the problem. And then Mariota played well the other day. I didn't expect him to go up there and lay 40 on anybody. But then I tried to tell people about the Colts of Jacoby Brissett. Remember a couple of years ago when the Colts wouldn't trade Jacoby Brissett for a second-round pick? People were offering them money, and they was like, nope, we're going to keep him. Luck came back. Brissett, the last memory that people have of Brissett is 2 years ago when Luck was out. Well, the roster was terrible. But even in those games, the Colts had the lead 11 times in the fourth quarter. They were playing hard, man. They just didn't have a good team. I think it's very, very dangerous to underestimate how they built that roster up there. I used to call the AFC South, I used to call it the West of the NFL. That's no longer true. Every single team in this division is super, super, super competitive. Let me get a prediction from y'all, man. What y'all gonna think? What do y'all think is gonna happen on Sunday?
I personally believe that the Houston Texans will come away victorious. Final score prediction, I think it's going to be another close one. I say about 27-21. What about you, John?
I'm going to go with 24-13.
You was real close last week.
I was. I like Minshew, you know, out of Washington State. I also like DJ Chalk. I also like Conley. I also like D.D. Westbrook. I just think D.D. is a guy that you have to get him in space. And I think you guys get 13 points off the fact that I don't think we have an identity on defense right now. But that offense that we have is so potential and potent. What am I going with, 27-13? Yep. I'll go with 27-13, Houston Texans.
I'll go 31-23. I think the Jags are going to be extremely competitive. I just think when they get to the red zone, it's going to bog down a little bit for Minshew. They're going to try to mix some stuff up. But I just do think they're too banged up on the defensive line right now. And I think Houston remembers, and I know you guys remember this, you know, obviously with the terrible storm that came through there and then that game that opened the season right after the storm. And Jacksonville came in, and I think they had 91 sacks in that game. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think you guys, this is the home opener. And I just don't. I think they'll remember. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bill O'Brien, because your crowd was hyped, man. You had a right to be, because you guys had been through so much. And then all of a sudden, like at the end of the first quarter, the air was let out of the balloon. I think O'Brien used that to tell those guys to watch out. And then I really do think Watt and Merciless and all those guys, the Jaguars also have a young offensive line at the tackle position. So I just think it's going to be a situation that's hard for Minshew. He's going to play well, but it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, Andrew, before we get out of here, I got another prediction for you real quick. Two receivers go over 90 yards and more in this game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think DJ Chark has a 100-yard game. I really do like that kid. Thank you so much for joining us on Locked On Texas. And then we're doing a flip crossover on Locked On Jaguars. Thank you for having us. We'll definitely get everybody follow him on Twitter, Locked On Jaguars as well. And Sunday, I'm going to be live tweeting you talking some trash.
All right, man. We're going to do it. Shout Talking League on Twitter. Live tweet, man. And we'll stay in touch and we'll do this again. We got to play twice. So we'll do this again later on in the year, bro.
Most definitely.
Sir. Sound like a plan.
All right.